Welcome to Read, Eat, Travel, Repeat, the book club and podcast with your hosts, Sarah, Kit, and Marianne, three friends who talk about all things books, food, and travel.
Welcome, readers, eaters, and travelers to Read, Eat, Travel, Repeat, the podcast and book club where books take us beyond the page. I'm Sarah.
I'm Kit.
And I'm Marianne. Today we'll be talking about the books we've read recently and books we think you need to add to your TBR pile.
And this episode is spoiler-free, so if a book you haven't read is mentioned, don't worry, we're not going to spoil it for you. And as always, we are adult readers who say adult things.
Especially depending on the day. I feel like we get worse sometimes.
Yeah. I feel like...
We're reading.
Right.
All right, so what's happening since we last talked a week ago?
What's happening? I'm gonna make a Ma start since she didn't put anything in the
script. You didn't put anything down.
Okay, so this Marianne, I'll go ahead and start. School got out on Thursday. I teach social studies, so that was pretty fun. And then graduation was on Friday. And for the first time ever, we had a valedictorian who gave a kick-ass speech. I always joke that sometimes you clap because they're good and sometimes you clap because they're over. And this one was because it was good. I mean, it was kind of a feminist rant, and I loved it. I loved that administration didn't try to censor her. I had her in my class in ninth grade, and she's going to Dartmouth in the fall, so I was just really super proud of her.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Except then the next day I started doing the AP U.S. Government and Politics reading, which involves reading hundreds upon hundreds of free response questions about federalism and Supreme Court cases. Thankfully, this year they are digital, so I'm not having to decipher handwriting. I was joking the other day that I would give up my hourly pay just to get paid by the number of misspelled words. I can't tell you how many kids spell commerce as commerence. And it's just crazy. Framers instead of farmers, and farmers framers. And it's insane. But that's about it. I spend 6 or 7 hours a day doing that, so then I'm pretty brain dead for the rest of the day. But I am going to Los Angeles next Tuesday, a week from tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
So I'm excited about that. Going to go to the Grand Canyon first, and then to Las Vegas, and then back to LA for 4 days. And then I'm going to do a lot of Disney things because we know I love Disney things. So
yeah.
It's like, you could tell it's summer because us teachers were like, all right, traveling here and traveling there because I can't travel during the school year.
So who's up next?
I'll go next. I'm just back in Colorado. So I'm just camping, hiking, fishing kind of around where I live, which is great. Rocky Mountain National Park's only about 45 minutes away. So I'm up there as much as humanly possible. Next week, I'm headed to Yellowstone and the Tetons for a few days, which is my favorite place in the world. So that was half the reason to move to Colorado, was it was closer to that.
So close.
Having the snow.
Yeah.
They can keep it up there. I can get there quickly.
You're down low enough to be like, yeah, we don't need all the crazy.
100%. And then our other big news is we adopted a new dog. His name is Gazpacho.
I love that.
I love that.
Call him Soup.
He looks so happy in that picture you shared with us.
He is a happy, happy boy. And we did, we went and met him on Saturday and loved him. And he came to us on Sunday so he could meet Buddy, our dog that we already have. And I really anticipated that going, not poorly, but Gazpacho is about 45 pounds and he's a rescue. So he can be a little nervous when there's like lots happening. And Buddy is 110 pounds and all chocolate lab. So he, all those personality quirks, like he's super loud, he's super big. So he can be kind of intimidating, even though he just wants to be your friend.
Right, right.
But they got along great. None of the things I was worried about happened. So
awesome.
It went great. Once I get back from Wyoming, he's going to move in because we didn't want to bring a dog to our house and then be like, deuces, I'm on vacation for 5 days.
Right, right.
Enjoy your new home.
Yeah.
So yeah, how about you, Sarah?
Well, I survived graduation barely this week. It was Wednesday. Also, great ceremony. Still can't believe that I'm a mom to a high school graduate. Mm-hmm. I'm still going to school and she's sleeping in all day. She's class president. So nice. She read all the names, which was kind of cool, and gave the exchange students their diplomas. She read their names, and then she was the one who like initiated flipping the tassel.
Oh, wow.
Which I did not know was going to happen. I'm like, I've seen graduation how many times, and I didn't realize. But for me as a mom and being somebody who works at school, and I'm down on the floor taking pictures for yearbook. Also, I couldn't sit in the stands. I would have been a nervous wreck just watching. Right. And I like being close to the action and seeing her. And she's the last person to get her diploma because she gets through the whole alphabet. And then she moves off and the principal announces her name and she comes up. The best part about that is because she's the last one, everyone else has already sat down. Yeah. So you can see her better. And my two secretaries, I love them, told me I could give her flower. I'm not allowed to give her diploma. She wanted me to give her diploma, but I gave her flower. So I was able to give her flower and give her a big hug. And my dad took a picture because, and there was nobody around. So it was super cool. So now I feel like we're all like emotionally recovering, although I've got this grad party I have to throw next week that not prepared for. And then shortly after that, our exchange student for this year leaves and goes home, and that always is a lot of emotions for me too, because you live with someone for 9 months and then they leave and they were part of your family and then they're just gone. It's the weirdest feeling. Like when we drop them off at the airport and then they're not with us. And I'm like, it feels so empty for a while. And I don't get done with school until Friday. So dumb. Like
that's close.
It's close. We have half day Friday, but I have to be out of my classroom.
Oh,
like completely out. Rooms, and I'm, normally, and I have a lot of stuff. I've been teaching 20 years, so I have a lot of stuff because I've always been in classrooms that don't make me take things down.
So you just accumulate?
Oh my gosh. I've tossed so many things and I'm like, I'm not, this is like pre-internet. No, just kidding. It's not that old, but I'm like, if I were to ever teach this unit again, I would go to Teachers Pay Teachers or I would do this. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. So
it's interesting, like the different traditions at different schools. Like at our school, the senior class votes on the teachers they're going to read names. So,
That's cool.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So they have two, like every year is a little bit different. They vote on who's going to be the readers and that's how they do it. So
our kids vote, they vote on their speaker. They have a student speaker that I think they vote on first that basically does the prayer, but of course we can't call it a prayer, but we're in a very Christian area.
Yeah.
They usually do just a little 2 to 3 minutes and then be like, all right, everybody pray if you want to kind of thing. Uh-huh. And then your valedictorian, whose speech was amazing. This girl is super, super smart. I mean, she's going to Michigan State. I'm fairly certain on a full ride for academics because of her grades. And her speech was about living in the moment. And while she's super happy, she has these high grades. She also kind of regretted not doing more in high school. Like it was in a way kind of sad, the social aspect. She did the musical with me as a freshman and I just kind of felt bad that she didn't continue. And then they vote on a guest speaker and it's typically a teacher. And this year it was one of our gym teachers who was a phenomenal person. His speech was so funny, but also like he told the kids when he began, all right, everyone reach under your seats. And they're all like excited, like, ooh, he left us something. Yeah. And he goes, you're probably realizing by now there's nothing there because nothing gets handed to you for free. And we're all like, oh, like dang, that's so good.
Cold.
And the kids were all like, okay. Like, so he's actually my parents' neighbor. So he's a funny guy. Yeah. So anyway, that's where I'm at. And now I'm like, I feel like life is slowing down finally and I can read more books and travel.
Yep. Those are two of my favorite things.
I don't go anywhere till July, but then I'm in Europe for like,
I was going to say, you've got a big trip in July.
Oh my gosh. 14 days,
I think.
I'm not
going anywhere until July and then I'm going to Europe.
I know. 14 days, I think.
Then I'm spending 2 weeks touring Europe.
Oh my gosh. Just 2 weeks. No, I'm going to be on the Mediterranean, by the way.
Oh,
no big deal.
I feel so sad for you, Sarah.
Five countries. It's just five countries.
What a shame. What a shame.
So sad.
The benefits of leading student travel. That's how I am able to do it. I lead. I'm not going by myself. I'm going with like a bunch of my students. So.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
It's fine. It's okay. It's fine. It's fine.
It's fun. It's fun. Okay. Let's start talking about books and what we read. Kit, it's your turn to go first. So tell us a little bit about what you read.
I did not realize how many ARCs I had until I started like compiling my list, but I got a ton of ARCs this month. I had some from Advice, I had them from Book Sirens and Chasing Books PR. And overwhelmingly, they were pretty awesome. The first one was The Poppy Fields by Nikki Ehrlich. And Sarah, you talked about this one last month, and I'm going to talk about it more later. So I'm not going to go super in depth, but I absolutely love this book. I also had When Love Gives You Lemons by Stephen Salvatore. This one is straight up my best friend's wedding in Italy. Lots of food. Make it super gay.
It's Taste Place in Italy, and it's my best friend's wedding that I just need to. Yeah.
And he's one of my all-time favorite authors. I've read every book that Salvatore has put out, and I've loved every single one. So highly, highly recommend it. It is out now. It came out a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I think I've seen it around, so.
Yeah. And then I
know I've read something of his, but I can't think of what it was.
This one is right behind me is Then They Lived is one of my favorite ones by
him. Yeah.
Behind me. So good.
I've heard of that one.
I also read it was not quite a short story, a novella probably is what you would call it. It was Europa by D.L. Hoopt. I found her on Threads, on Instagram Threads. She put out a call for ARC readers, and her pitch for this book was Last of Us meets Interstellar. And I was like, okay, yes, I want that. And it's super short, super quick. And when I got to the end, there was like the big reveal, because that's kind of how all of those like books and movies and TV shows work. When the reveal happened, I had to immediately go back and I'm like flipping through pages like, what is happening? Because I knew something was going to happen. I just didn't know what. Then I read Whisked Away by Noelle Bailey. It's a magical small town romance, super solid enemies to lovers vibes.
Love it.
And it's already kind of being touted as the first in the Magnolia Cove Magic series. So I really like that, because sometimes I'll get hung up on a side character and I'll be like, I just want more of that person. Knowing that the world is going to get fleshed out
Makes
me feel way better about it.
Okay, magic like witches? No, or like, what's our magical being?
Magical realism.
It's not magical realism. So it's not necessarily a magical, like a traditional stereotypical witch.
Okay.
But she is a, I don't want to say food blogger is not the right word that I'm looking for, but our main male character owns a bakery.
Love it.
She wants this place shut down. So she's going to this place to like write a scathing tell-all. And when she walks in, she's like, oh, but he cute. Like, and so it's
wait a second.
Like, we are very clearly against each other. Like, it's going to be a mutual destruction situation. Mm-hmm. Except for they're both like, oh, but also, like, maybe we could kiss. And then there's magic involved. But it's definitely magical realism where like,
I like that.
It makes you feel like there could be magic everywhere.
Yes, that's like, what I love too, where you're like the kind of world I want to live in. Like, yeah,
you should definitely check that one out. It's really solid. Revive Me is the complete opposite. It is another. So it's definitely smutty. It's by Nikki Castle, but it's about a MMA fighter who has a devastating injury. He has no idea who he is if he's not fighting. And then when he goes to PT, he's like, basically F you to this like physical therapist. Cause she's all like trying to be super supportive and sunshine and rainbows. And he's like, I fucking hate you. I fucking hate life. Like, leave me alone. I'm only doing this cause I have to. And so she's like, fine. If you want to be that way, then I'll give you some tough love. And so they're just at each other's throats. But the author does a really solid job balancing kind of the really, really hard stuff mm-hmm. with really funny and cute rom-com kind of moments.
Okay. Good banter.
It has great banter. If it kept that hard vibe the whole time, I would have been like, get this out of here. Like, this is too dark, too much. So it was a really nice balance.
It is free on Kindle Unlimited right now.
Yeah.
According to Goodreads. So, yeah.
Much Ado About Hating You is by Sarah Echevarri Smith. This one is like a love letter to fanfic, which we all know I'm like, I have an undying love for fanfic. So it's fanfic meets Much Ado About Nothing, which is my favorite Shakespeare play.
Same. I'm super intrigued by this one. When I saw this on your list, I was like, ooh.
So this one is it's like an office romance kind of thing.
Okay.
They hate each other at work. I mean, hate each other. And they don't realize that. It's like, I hate you during the day, but after hours, I'm like, obsessed with your writing, because one of us is writing the fanfic and the other one is obsessed with it. But they don't know it right away. So it's this very, and it we know right from the start, but
right.
as they start to figure it out, they're like, you've got to be fucking kidding me. Like, no. So it's a very cute book. And obviously, like, that Much Ado About Nothing has phenomenal banter, so it really leans into that.
Mm-hmm.
Ash and Poison is by Maya Rain. This is just straight, it's a, the tagline on it is morally gray serial killer on a sabbatical.
Sabbatical. Like, serial killers are like, I need a vacation.
I gotta take a break.
I gotta stop killing for a while.
Right. So much happens in this book. I wish it was tied together a little tighter in the end, but overall it was super solid. And then I went on like a week-long poetry kick. I don't like, my brain was like, now's the moment. So I read a poetry collection called Bright Dead Things. It was really good. It's more of a, it's not a book in verse, but it definitely follows a story. It traces a story of someone who's trying to figure out who they are. Canyon's Edge by Dusty Bowling is a middle grade. I listened to this one. She's one of my favorite authors. It's a middle grade adventure story. It is told in verse and it's a survival story. Nora's the main character. Her and her dad go out camping in a canyon and a flash flood washes her dad away. He saves her life by like tossing her up on the cliff.
Oh.
And she, the rest of the book, that happens like right out the gate and it's in the summary. So that was not
right.
a spoiler.
So it's not a, yeah.
But the rest of the book is her trying to save herself, trying to save her dad. And she's also still dealing with the grief of losing her mother that had happened like a year prior.
Oh.
So Nora's going through it. It is, this is not like a super happy, fun book, but it is so, so good. And then Me Moth is one of my favorite books of all time. It's by Amber McBride. It is, I can tell you almost nothing about this book because the reveal at the end changes the whole story. So I don't want to give you too much from the beginning, but it is a road trip story. It's Moth is the female main character. Santi is the male main character. Moth has lost her whole family in a car accident. And her mom's sister takes her in. And her mom's sister is grieving so bad that she's like, I just have to get away. Like, I can't look at you without seeing my dead sister. So the aunt leaves to like go on a vacation or take a break. Santi has been moved in with his mother. He's from the Navajo Nation. The stepdad beats him senseless. And so he runs to go back to the Navajo Nation and his dad and takes Moth with him. And then it's kind of a road trip story. It's told in verse, but at the outset, we don't really know what it is about Moth and Santi that draw them together. And by the end, you find out what it is. And you're just like, oh,
whoa.
Dang. Like that is a, that's a totally different book than what I thought I was reading.
Whoa. Okay.
And
I'm really intrigued.
Okay. So knowing Kit, when you said me Moth, I figured it was a Mothman.
No,
somebody who's part moth and part human.
This one's legit.
Amber McBride practices hoodoo, and if you watch her videos, she gives really great descriptions of kind of the importance of that in her life. And in this story, Moth also practices hoodoo, and throughout the story, it's about her kind of like reconnecting to her ancestors and who she is. Along with like just dealing with the fact that she literally lost everything. But I don't have like a, I don't have a lot of books that I reread every year, but I reread this one pretty frequently because depending on where you are in your own life, different bits of the story will kind of like come to the surface for you.
That's cool.
And it
I
is
like
one
that.
Of the only books that I have tattoos from.
But oh, wow.
I like it that much that I was like, this one we will commemorate. And Amber McBride's phenomenal. Her other book is up here. It's We Are All So Good at Smiling. And that's also a great, great book. And then my last book is the one you were waiting for, Marianne. I know. This is my monster romance book.
Okay, good.
This one is kind of, right? We couldn't make it without at least one good one. This one's called The Kraken's Castaway. It's by Cassandra Medcalf. And this one was actually recommended to me by Nickel5255 on TikTok. Every month I put out a call to just give me your most unhinged, like, nonsense monster romance. And she was like, you have to read this one. And then at the end, you have to come back and tell me what you thought, because the end is bonkers. Like, I don't even know how to explain it, but the author's notes at the beginning with the trigger warnings.
Gotta love a good trigger warning.
I'll give you the trigger warning that goes with the end, and I'm going to give you no context.
Okay.
Except for that you know this is a monster romance and it's super smutty, but the trigger warning is monster docking.
I have thoughts, but...
So, this one is set in Lake Superior. It's just a smutty monster romance, but the characters are a thousands-year-old Viking who was cursed into becoming a sea monster.
Okay.
AKA the Kraken. Two enemies to lovers, Titans, so like all-powerful gods. And then our girl Lillian, who is just trying to heal after a loss by having like a nice week at the lake house. And she gets pulled into like the monster chaos, and she's tapped to be the surrogate mother for a horde of monster babies. And this is the proverbial porntacles monster romance. This is
porntacles.
There's
okay.
a lot of porntacles in this one. So those are my books this month.
Interesting.
Okay.
They're pretty solid. All right, who's next? Sarah, Marianne, who's up?
I can go.
Okay. Right.
Okay, so I did mine as a yes, no, maybe. And the book I just finished, I think last night, is It's a Love Story by Annabelle Monaghan. I really, really like her books. Not a whole lot of spice. Romances. This one was about a former teen star who was like the awkward kid on the Disney Channel type Nickelodeon. And she has some really embarrassing moments as that awkward kid. And she hasn't really outgrown them, even though she's like in her late 20s now. So now she's working, like promoting or producing like screenplays. And she's found this script that she really wants to bring to fruition. And she's hoping that she could get her old, an acquaintance that she kind of embarrassed herself in front of back from when she was on TV to get him to, he's like a super popular pop star now. And she wants to get him to record a song for the script. And so she ends up going with this other guy who's going to be the cinematographer for the movie if they can get it made. Go to his house in Long Island, I think it is, for a week. And it's kind of like a only one bed, enemies to lovers kind of thing. But like the biggest takeaway I took from it is like, if you don't think you're lovable, can you love somebody else? Because she doesn't think she's lovable.
Okay.
You know, so can you really love someone if you don't think you're lovable? And I really enjoyed it. My book club would say it's predictable, but I enjoyed it. I read Great Big Beautiful Life by Emily Henry. I've seen a lot of mixed reviews from it. I liked it a lot. It's like a dual storyline with this woman. I think her name is Margaret, who's like an heiress. And it brings up all sorts of like Hearst or Pulitzer or Kennedy kind of vibes, like old money. And she's telling her life story, and she's trying to decide who's going to write the story. And there's these two writers that are jockeying for the job. And so they're kind of enemies to lovers in a way, and the fact that they both want this job, but they're just so drawn to each other, they can't stop themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed it a lot. I've seen a lot of negativity about it, but I enjoyed it. Summer in the City by Alex Astor. Like that one a lot. Another kind of typical rom-com, billionaire male character. And sometimes he doesn't know when to stop with throwing his money around, which can be problematic. And it's not like he does it in a douchey way. He just has a lot of money and it's like, doesn't really think twice about it. So it can come across poorly when people think you're trying to throw your money away, but he's just like, it's kind of like, it's like if I offered to buy somebody who was on a street corner to take them to Chili's, they'd think I was like throwing my money around because, you know, Chili's is out of the question for them. Whereas, you know, when he says, hey, I'll take you to Paris for dinner, that's not like
right.
A huge stretch.
That's cute. Also our book of the month for next month.
It
don't
is,
forget.
Yes.
So I'm looking forward to reading it.
I read Dead Woman Crossing by J.R. Adler, who's actually Geneva Rose. And it's a mystery set in like Wyoming or someplace like that, that she's like a big city detective who moves to the country because she wants a better life for her daughter. and gets involved in the middle of this murder mystery. There was like a murder there like 100 years ago, and this kind of a tourist attraction or attracts like some unsolved mystery kind of people to come and look, come to this town and find out about this murder that happened 100 years ago. And so she ends up getting caught up in a murder mystery there. And apparently it's part of a series. There's another one I have on my Kindle that I haven't read the next one yet. So let's see. Oh, then I also had the Poppy Fields. I don't think I loved it as much as you, Kit and Sarah did, but it really was an excellent book. Really made you stop and think about grief and if it's worth, you know, potentially, oh, how can I put it without spoiling? You know, if getting through grief is worth the possibilities of some of the after effects of the cure. I read The Stolen Life of Colette Marceau by Kristen Harmel. It's a World War II historical fiction. It takes place during World War II and in 2018. It was really interesting. It's about this woman who's a jewel thief during her family. It's descended from jewel thieves. And during like the World War II, she stole like precious jewels to help fund the resistance. So kind of like a Robin Hood kind of thing. And it was interesting. It was a good book. I'm going to go see Kristen Harmel in Tampa later on this month, actually. So it was good. It wasn't my favorite of hers, but it was good. Then I've got a couple of maybes. Where'd You Go, Bernadette? I know. I think Sarah recommended.
Yeah, I want to know how you feel about this one.
I don't know. I feel like it just kind of ended. I felt like I wanted more of a resolution. And it was weird, I think, reading it on a Kindle because it was hard to tell because it bounces around from like different points of views, and so I don't know if that detracted from it or what, but it wasn't.
I wish there had been more funny scenes in it because that I'll just say the mudslide. You'll know what part I'm talking about. It's hilarious.
Oh, yes.
And I was
yes.
like, oh, I was laughing out loud at that part, but then that was the only like laugh out loud funny. Like I kind of expected more shenanigans, but then it got serious.
It did make me want to go to Antarctica. So it did make me want to travel. I read An Irish Summer, which we were talking about earlier, which I just found the main female character insufferable, but I did love the Irish scenery, and the rest of the characters were pretty cool. So I guess if you can get past, I think her name was Chelsea, if you get past her sourpuss and being a grumpin' all the time, maybe it's a grumpy to sunshine. And I wasn't even
right. You weren't right. You weren't there.
Like, just get over yourself. And then my two, this one has been really popular. I've seen on TikTok, but I didn't love it, which was Then She Was Gone. It was like a murder mystery that I don't even remember anything about it, except I was glad I was finished with it.
It's funny. I'm looking that up because I read it. I was like, I read it. I think I own it
too, but I don't remember.
I gave it 4 stars. I gave it 4 stars. And I'm looking at it. I'm like, I do remember this. Yep.
I just didn't like it. And then Sarah, I put the last letter as a no. So that was
everyone says it's going to destroy me. So that's why I'm so scared. But I love everything Rebecca Yarros writes, even the romance, the fantasy, the dragon.
You get destroyed for the sake of being destroyed. I don't know.
Yeah.
If I'd stopped at like the 66%, I would have been perfectly happy with it. But I kept going and regretted it. So
yeah.
Not a bad book. I mean, it wasn't like the writing was bad. You know, I enjoyed like the scenery and everything. Just the ending of it was, I felt like the ending was kind of unrealistic, and we can talk about that more at another time. So
yeah. Like I said, I like the other one of hers I've read. I've read a few, but the first one I read was The Things We Leave Unfinished, and that was so good.
Happy to read that too and compare it. Mm-hmm. But
I mean, I've read Variation. I've read In the Likely Event. I loved all of them. I love Variation too. She's just a very good writer.
I just don't like books that are going to wreck me. So,
well, she went from romance to romanticy, and I was just like, wow, thought she was a debut author. Nope, she's got like 20 romance books out there.
Oh, really?
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. Like they all, those all, no, they all came first. Like The Last Letter, that all came before Fourth Wing.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, Fourth Wing came out and you're like, who is this new author? No, she's been writing for like forever. So I'm kind of happy to see her get like such success now, because now people are recognizing her other books.
Yeah. So. I mean, like I would read something else by her, because the writing itself wasn't bad. The circumstances, especially at the end, I was like, why?
She does a lot of military writing because her husband is military. And so she raised her kids like often with him overseas. So she writes a lot about that.
Like special ops, or retired from special ops. So the main male character. So it wasn't bad writing. Wasn't a bad book. It just was not the book for me. So.
Right.
Anyhow, so what you got, Sarah?
Okay, my turn. I'm skipping the first one on our list only because I'm probably going to talk about it for a little bit. So I got English teacher mode, finished two classics this month with my students, To Kill a Mockingbird, Harper Lee. This is one of those books, like, it's an always recommend for me to anybody, just because I feel like it's one of those classics that is so perfect. I tell my students all the time, because I'm a big sucker for the title, you guys know this, and I love when books, especially classics, kind of go in this perfect circle. Mm-hmm. So I love The To Kill a Mockingbird. It's the perfect circle about what it is, what it means to To Kill a Mockingbird. Funny story, my dad loves the movie. Like, my dad's an avid reader, and he goes, it's one of those movies, every time it's on, I always watch it. And I said, well, have you ever read the book? He's like, no. So I got him the book for Christmas a couple years ago. And he read it and he was blown away. He's like, I had no idea. And I said, yeah, the movie is great, but it skips a ton of the storylines. So finished that with my students. And then we did a little quick read of Mice and Men, John Steinbeck. And then I read The Wedding People by Alison Espach for my book club, which meets Wednesday, I think. I'm interested to talk about this one. I was a little leery about this one at first. I thought it would be too predictable. The whole premise behind it was like the main character. Now I'm blanking on her name.
Phoebe?
Yep, Phoebe. I'll say I have it down here later. Phoebe, you know, everyone's at the wedding except for her. She has come here for a much different reason.
Right.
And it's very sinister and dark. So in my mind, I'm going, okay, she's going to commit suicide. Like, so predictable. That's not, and then it just turned into so much more that I was like, okay. And I did like it in the end. It took a little bit for me to kind of go, okay, but I did like it in the end. Unraveling of Julia Lisa Skodeline, another thriller author that I always really like. I was disappointed in this one. It felt written very simplistically, which is weird. And I've read a few of the other reviews and a lot of people have said this is not her best, not my favorite. So I'll definitely read more of hers. This just wasn't my favorite. Some of the things I loved about it, there was a paranormal aspect that was kind of freaking me out. Like, I need to not read in my Kindle at night in my bed, because when you're literally talking about ghosts in this 200, 300 year old house in Tuscany. Yeah, I was a little freaky, but that was the other thing I loved about it. It took place in Tuscany. So she frequently went to Florence. Ironically, too, she went to the castle in Milan. And I'm blanking on who, Catherine, somebody, that lived there. And I was like, I've been to that castle. So that was kind of cool that, you know, when you read something and you're like, I know exactly where you're talking about, because I've been there. And it's something that not a lot of people go to in Italy. You go to the bigger, you might go to Milan and go to the cathedral. We went to the castle.
Yeah.
So that was kind of fun. I read my first Olivia Dade. She's one of my new favorites. Right? I am in love with her. My recommendation for her would be, especially for women like me over 40, closer to 50. no, but I love that, because just some of the other romances, I still love reading romances, but she keeps it very real. Mm-hmm. And like you said, Kit, it's super inclusive, body inclusive, age inclusive. Yeah. Teach Me is about a very straight-laced, like, teacher who, by the way, is not pencil thin. She's in her 40s. She's divorced. And she meets a single dad. So it's kind of one of those, it's just, like, super sweet that love can happen at any age. You don't have to be 20-something.
I'm reading a book right now by Jojo Moyes. I don't know if you've ever read any of her books.
Almost all of them.
Yeah, so I love her. I'm reading her new book. And her books are kind of like that, too, that you don't have to be... And even, like... Annabelle Monaghan, some of her books are about divorced women with kids to find a second love. So I like that.
Not that I'm looking for love. I'm happily married, but it's just, you know, it's, I read a lot of YA too, and it's like, oh, these little kids are sweet. And they have no idea how hard life is when they get older. Right. Yeah.
But it's like, so sometimes I love read that. Some of these romances and everybody's like pencil thin and they want all kinds of money and you know, they're going out clubbing, and sometimes it's nice to read a book with people you can relate to.
Yes.
For sure.
And I'm reading, I'm listening to a second one of hers called, I'll probably talk about next month, 40 Love.
Yep.
And it's about, again, a 40 something. She turns 40 on vacation. She meets a younger man, but she is very voluptuous.
And
I love it.
Female characters are like that.
Yeah. She's very empowering to women. Yes. I feel like.
Also, what I liked about a lot of her books is it doesn't feel like lip service. Like, it doesn't feel like she's like, you can be fabulous at any size. It's because the main characters do deal with like body image issues.
Yes.
And, like, some insecurity.
Yeah.
Like, the things that we all feel every day.
Yeah.
Like, they deal with that. So it isn't just kind of like, you can be awesome any size. It's like, sometimes it sucks.
Sometimes it's a struggle. Yeah.
But you're so worthy of finding that, like, happy ever after.
Yes. I feel too, like, the women are empowered into the point, like, if they want something, like, if they want a guy, they go for it.
Yeah.
Sometimes we read about these timid women and the guys are like, I want to take care of you. And, and with Olivia Date, she's kind of like, I'm a woman and I want you to take care of me. Like, they put it out there. And I love that as well, which is really cool. So definitely a fan. I will be checking out more of hers. I read Always a Bridesmaid, or I listened to Always a Bridesmaid, Erin Clark, about a woman who is a bridesmaid for hire.
Oh.
And she ends up becoming the maid of honor. Yeah, good money. Because a lot of brides don't want to deal with like planning a bachelorette party and all the drama. And she ends up becoming the maid of honor for this girl who seems very aloof and everything. And of course there's the best man who's wonderful and things happen. So super cute audio. Lessons for Chemistry. We already talked about that. Wild Love, Elsie Silver. I have already read the Chestnut Springs series and loved it. And so this is her, Rose Hill, I think is the other city. Love Me a Good Cowboy Romance. Kind of, they all take place in, Canada, Alberta.
Okay.
I want to say something like that. So, but they're all this super cute town. Loved it. We'll continue to read more. And I dove into, monster porn with Morning Glory Milking Farm. Morning Glory Milking Farm. Thanks to Kit. It was free. The audio was free. And I was like, okay. CM Discosta.
You got to try at least once.
Up your alley. And I'm guessing, Marianne, this is what you were laughing at. It says, I have words. Funny. The book was so funny, but some of the descriptions were a little too bovine. Because he's a minotaur. And so she would talk about the ring in his nose. And it was really wide and as wide. And I was just like, sounds like a cow. Like, but Kit was totally right. The writing is fantastic. And
The beginning, bonkers, like, silly book, like, it's
when
so
she's open. When she's like going through her interview to be hired at this milking farm, the description is wonderful. Like, it is so scientific. Right? And I'm just kind of like, wow, I'm not even like, I believe that this place exists.
That's the second book is the same way. It's set on a berry farm.
The berry farm.
Like, it has to do with like pollinators. Like, they're doing scientific research on how to restore pollinators. And I'm like, I'm learning things.
Yeah.
About pollinators and Mothman genitalia. Like, there's so much to learn here.
I know. Like I said, I don't know. I might read. I think I'd be more into a Mothman than a Minotaur. Yeah, Minotaurs are a little too horse-like for me. And as somebody who has a horse, I find it a little it's a little odd. But
there's only so much description of a Minotaur penis that one needs in their life.
Oh, right? Yeah, that was one of it too. There's a lot of description about.
There's a lot because really have to be able to visualize how big her hand needs to be. Yeah.
Yeah, and I keep thinking about like cows when they like chew their cud and they lick their lips.
They have really long.
So weird. So weird. So my one I finished this morning that I am totally obsessed with is I finally dove into the Boys of Tommen series, Binding 13 by Chloe Walsh. finished it at school this morning because I loved it so much. As soon as school was done, I ran to Barnes & Noble, did not spend hours browsing. I literally spent 5 minutes. Nice I job. Went in.
You're like,
I got it. And then I'm like, we're going to record this podcast in 45 minutes. I'm going home. I'm going to read for like 20 minutes because I got to know what happened. I did not love the female main character at first. She has a lot of issues. The book is super long, so it's slow in a good way. Like, it's slow paced. She had so many issues and seemed so whiny, and her anxiety is so bad. And you kind of know why. She's bullied at her former school, and her mom starts working to get her into this private school of Tommen. Mm-hmm. And part of me was kind of like, oh my God, stop whining. Like, stop. But then as the book went on and you start to see why a little more and how bad things really are for her, I loved it. Now I'm like, okay, I get it. I felt like I had to give it a little bit of time because I wasn't really sure. I stayed with it the whole time because the banter of the boys is absolutely hilarious. So Tommen College is high school. Actually, they call their high schools college. It takes place in Ireland near Cork. She's from Ballylogan near Cork, but the school is in Cork. And Chloe Walsh is Irish. So it's written in like Irish conversational. So all those like slang and words and stuff like that, that they're all, the number of times they call each other feckin' idiots, because that's what they say in Ireland. I love that. It actually comes with a how to pronounce the names at the beginning, very helpful because we all know Siobhan is not spelled like Siobhan.
I was almost a Siobhan.
Were you really?
Yeah.
And her name is super, what is her? Her name's easy. It's Shannon. His name is Johnny. They're like two easy ones, but there's a Aoife, and her name is spelled A-I-O-F-E.
Yeah.
But I'm like, thank God for that, because now I know her name's Aoife. So I think listening to it would be very helpful for those.
That's what I have it on. I'm on the wait list for the audiobook through Libby.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about that.
I was kind of mad. Only the pretty cover was for the book one. The regular covers for the rest of the series. It was like a Barnes & Noble exclusive. Like, and I'm like, but my first one's all pretty and shiny and has pink binding. And this one doesn't. And I don't like that. So I'm definitely hooked. I will keep reading. I think there's 5 in the series right now. I thought it was fun. And the first one leaves you on a cliffhanger, like literally a question. And you're like, and?
Okay,
and? Right. Kind of like in New Moon when Edward's like, marry me, Bella.
And, you're
and
like,
then they stop and you're like, okay. And? So I had to run out and get it. I think that was everything that I read. It was another pretty good month, pretty good books. Yeah.
I feel like when I was looking at the list, I was like, we read a lot of really good books.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
Not on that list.
I feel like after reading Binding 13, I feel like I'm back. Like I'm back into my groove of like, I read a ton yesterday. I didn't want to do anything but read. Where I got in that mode. Like this book is so good. I just want to finish it.
I love when that happens.
It's been a while for me. I'll be like, I'm so tired. I'm just going to sit and watch a show or whatever.
Watch
and
TV.
I'm like, oh. Yeah.
All right. Are we ready to go to rapid fire?
Yeah. Our questions. Okay. Let's do this.
All right. I'll read the first question.
Okay.
All right. What character do you want to go on a road trip with? Marianne?
Okay. I would go with Dan from It's a Love Story. He's a cinematographer, but he's also an artist, and he just has a really cool way of looking at things, just finding beauty in just everyday things. So I think I would go with him.
Nice. Sarah?
I put Gibbsy, Johnny and Joey from Binding 13. There's one scene only with like the three of them because Gibbsy and Johnny play rugby for the school and Joey is Shannon's brother.
Okay.
But they end up all getting together and cooking food in this kitchen. And it is absolutely hilarious. Like their banter is so classic teenage boy that it's one of those things. It would just keep you entertained for hours. You could just sit there and not say a word and just be entertained.
Just go
for hours as they talk about stupid stuff and are just crazy to each other, which is kind of weird saying that I'd go on a road trip with teenage boys. I don't mean it that way. I just meant they're very funny.
They're very entertaining.
They're very entertaining. It's like being a teacher and sitting in my classroom and I'm just like,
listening to
and the kids are all talking and I'm listening to all the tea going, okay, what's going on?
What's happening now?
100%. How about you?
Marianne. I picked Moth and Santi from Me Moth.
Oh, yeah.
I just love the way they deliberately mapped out this road trip to get from where they were back to the Navajo Nation. And within that, they built in time for, like, we know we're going to see some crazy shit while we're on the road, and we're going to want to go see it. Like, we don't need to really be on a timeline.
Here's
our path, but if we see the biggest ball of twine, we're going to the biggest
ball of twine,
which I think is the best way to road trip anyway. So I was pretty excited to, like, the first time I read it, I was like, oh, we could actually go there. Like, you could actually follow the path that they go on. And
that would be so fun.
All the things that they see.
That would be so fun.
So I picked that.
Okay, what's our next question?
All right. What places you would like to go in these books? What about you, Marianne?
Oh, I would want to go to Antarctica. After reading about it in Where'd You Go, Bernadette? It sounds terrifying, but fascinating. So I would pick Antarctica.
I had trouble narrowing down this time because all of my books were set in very different places. Italy is someplace I've always wanted to visit. And the specific location there is a lemon grove, which I was like, oh
yes.
Fun. And then the lake house and the Kraken's curse, maybe without, you know, the Kraken attacking.
Without the giant tentacles.
Not the giant. I mean, you never know.
You know.
He seems like a very sweet guy anyways. But the initial plan for being at the lake house is it's two best friends and they just bring all of their favorite books and sip fruity drinks and sit on the side of the lake.
Yes.
Like, that sounds amazing. Yes. I would love a week doing just that. We can plan that for us and just.
I wholeheartedly agree. Let's do this. Yeah.
Yes. Sarah?
I had two places, two of my favorite places in the world, Italy and Ireland. I love Tuscany. I was supposed to, when I was in college, my last year, I was going to study in Florence. I was going to do a 6-week, and I was working at the time for a pro hockey team. Done weird things. And now I'm a teacher, but I was working in sports. I thought they were going to hire me because the person had left and I, as an intern, was basically doing their job. And so I pulled my application. And it is the only regret I have in my life is not going. And so I would have studied there when I was like 21. I was 42 when I went there. Yeah. And I literally standing in the center of Florence by the cathedral, I started crying. I was just like, so emotional. Like, I can't believe I'm finally here. It took me 42 years instead of 21. So I love Tuscany. I love that area of Florence North, basically. But if I had to pick one, Ireland, I think it's because I've been to Italy twice. I spent a lot of time in Florence the last time I were there. And I'm going again this summer. It's one of the five countries. But I've only been to Ireland once. And I feel like there's so much more to Ireland that I just haven't seen. I didn't get to go to the Cliffs of Moher. I want to go there. I want to go see Northern Ireland a bit more. I think Ireland would probably be my top pick. What character would you want to have dinner with? Go ahead, Marianne.
Okay, so apparently I am an idiot because I was thinking, from that book I just read that took place partly about the jewel thief, but what was her name? Okay. And then I remembered it's the title of the book, The Stolen Life of Colette Marceau. I'm like opening my Kindle to try and find out what her name is, and it's part of the title.
Whoops. So,
sorry.
I would pick Colette Marceau because I'm sure I'm saying it horrendously, but because she like lived through World War II, comes from a family that is supposedly descended from Robin Hood, and everybody in her family throughout history has robbed from the rich to give to the poor, but only to help the less fortunate. They don't keep the goods for themselves. And I think she'd be fascinating to talk to about like the experiences that she had during World War II and just her experiences of stealing all these precious jewels from Nazis. And I think she'd be really interesting. And her name is Colette Marceau because that's the name of the book.
Go figure.
I know. Okay, who's up next? Kit?
Yep. I 100% would go with Fielder, who's the main character from When Love Gives You Lemons. He's a food influencer. He posts to TikTok. In the book, the author, Stephen Salvatore, even flat out says like, or social media where you post videos because maybe TikTok doesn't exist anymore. Like, it's a very cute like aside where he's like, this, by the time you read this book, that might not be a thing anymore. But he, Fielder goes to different restaurants, he reviews food and stuff. And I just know going with someone who kind of knows all the secret places and the ins and outs would be so much fun. because I'm a huge dessert person, and I feel like I could just be like, Fielder, I want the best cheesecake in the whole city. And he would be like, I got you.
Done. Yeah,
I feel like it'd be like insider information, and I love food so much. Plus, we can invite his mom and his Italian aunties, which they are like the constant chatter, would be so entertaining. What about you, Sarah?
I chose Phoebe Stone from The Wedding People. Like I said, I thought it was the plot of this book was a little slow in that it took a while for the character to develop, which was good, because if you had trauma dumped all of the stuff going on for her, I think it would have ruined the book. So she was a very interesting character, I thought. And she was very smart and easy to talk to. Like the one character she is with a lot, they talk about how easy it is to talk to each other. So I think she's that type of person you could just talk to for hours and hours.
Yeah.
So,
all right. So we're going to go for talk recommendations. Who wants to start?
I could start.
All right.
Okay. I, of course, always I'm an English teacher. I'm going to recommend the classics, To Kill a Mockingbird, of Mice and Men. If you haven't read them, you're missing out. But for the regular readers, I would recommend Teach Me by Olivia Dade. I am a new fan of hers because her MC is often 40-ish and not skinny. So for my over 40 readers, over 40 book talk, talking to you, you will absolutely love her. She's fantastic. Second would be Wild Love by Elsie Silver, because I love me a good, you know, it's not kind of a cowboy romance, kind of, but I still love it. And my new favorite obsession, as of this morning, I finished Binding 13 by Chloe Walsh and ran out immediately to buy Redeeming 13 because I'm obsessed. And as soon as we're done recording, I will probably go and read again. Those are my picks for the month.
Best kind of books is when.
Yes.
The next part immediately.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
How about you, Marianne? What's your top rec?
Okay, my top rec would be It's a Love Story by Annabelle Monaghan. I just really enjoy her books. The characters all have some flaws. They're not perfect. And the main female character in this book, her name is Jane, and she's had some trauma as a teenager. And she feels like she's not lovable. And can you love somebody else when you're not lovable? And it's got, you know, a kind of only one bed thing going on, enemies to lovers. It was this great Irish family. I love like this big family. I just loved it so much. I also really enjoyed Great Big Beautiful Life by Emily Henry. I like the addition. I know a lot of people complained about it, but I kind of like the dual storyline that included like some historical kind of fiction in it. Made me think of like, I kept thinking of like Patty Hearst and like the Hearst family.
Oh, yeah.
Old money families. I think her name is Margaret's telling her story of her life. And that's where my mind kept going. I enjoyed it a lot. Nice. And then our book club book for this coming month is Summer in the City by Alex Astor. And I'm originally from New York, so I love a book set in New York City. And I just really enjoyed that. Just a lot of some funny times, some poignant times. I really enjoyed it a lot. I'm looking forward to talking about it when we record our next podcast episode.
Yeah.
Coming soon.
And what about you, Kit?
So I read so many good books this month. One that I really loved was the When Love Gives You Lemons by Stephen Salvatore.
I want to read that.
I know, me too. I love the title.
Yeah.
Like,
and it came out just a couple weeks ago, so you can definitely get it. And that one, I'm a sucker for a 90s rom-com. That's what I was raised on. This is Salvatore's second book that is based on a rom-com. The first one was based on Pretty Woman, and it's called The Boyfriend Subscription. This one is My Best Friend's Wedding, which is a phenomenal movie. So it was so much fun to kind of know what beats a story is going to hit, but not know how they were going to hit them.
Nice.
So there was like this extra little layer of anticipation where you're like, oh, I know kind of what's going to happen, but I don't really know what's going to happen. And Fielder and his family are, I grew up in an Italian family with all my Italian aunties. So seeing that reflected on the page, even though I've never been to Italy, but like that, there's a very distinct, specific way that your Italian aunts talk to you.
Yes.
And this was like, obviously nailed perfectly. So I love that one. And then the other one that I really love, Sarah, you read it last month. You talked about it. Marianne, you read it this month as well, was The Poppy Fields by Nikki Ehrlich. This book, I don't want to give anything away, but there's the road trip aspect to it, which I always love. But it, at its heart, you know, we all know, is really a story about how you deal with grief. And I really liked that every character interacts with the feeling of grief in a different way. Everyone's coming at it from a different perspective. Everyone has a different story to tell. And they're all trying to figure out if signing up at the Poppy Fields, I'm not giving anything away, but that is this the way that's going to help me get past the pain that I'm feeling?
Yes.
And is this worth the risk? Because for some people it is, and for some people it isn't. Mm-hmm. And I really also love that the book dealt with, you know, when you've lost someone that's super close to you, it's not just you that's in pain. It's also everyone around you.
Everyone around you. Yeah. With. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you make a decision for yourself, which will allow you to lessen the pain, does that change how you interact with the other people in your life? And I really liked that they didn't ignore that. They really leaned into the fact that pain and grief is a complicated thing.
Mm-hmm.
And how we move past it is complicated. So I thought about this.
It comes out after June 17th is when it officially comes out. So another week or so. I do want to read her other book, The Measure. I don't know if you've read that. That one's,
I have not read it yet.
It's about what would you do if you knew the day you were going to die?
Ooh, yeah.
I think it's something like that. I'm kind of like, ooh, I don't know about that one, but
I probably would not have picked that book up if I hadn't read The Poppy Fields, but after reading the Poppy
Exactly. Fields, I'm like, wow, maybe it'll be.
Everything was woven together. I was like, oh, I should read that.
Yeah.
That's an excellent book. Yeah. So those were my top two. Everything else I read was also excellent, but those are the two that I was definitely thinking about long after I put the book down, which is always,
I will definitely buy The Poppy Fields when it comes out. I may even annotate it, which is a big deal for me because I only do that on really special books, especially because I know it'll be my book club book in the fall and so many good things to talk about. I'm going to want to mark up certain parts to be like, what are we going to talk about?
The Poppy Fields, I'm going to make like a wild guess here, is going to be a huge book club book. Just generally.
Oh, yeah. I definitely could see that.
Just
definitely.
Because of the conversation.
So much to talk about. Yes.
Yeah.
So many layers to it. Because you talk about the grief, you talk about the road trip, you talk about found family, you talk about the kind of morally gray and ethical parts of the story. Like there's a lot to dig into. I think it's going to end up being a huge book club book out there.
Yeah, I definitely think you're
right
too.
I think you're right. Yeah. All right. Well, if you have not listened to last month's book club episode, Stirring the Pot, which came out last week, what are you waiting for?
Oh, and don't forget, all of our episodes are up on YouTube now, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Not only can you watch them or listen to them on your favorite podcast platform, but you could watch us be goofy on YouTube.
You can actually see the shenanigans and
you can
possibly
see Oswald and I playing tug of war with the wastebasket.
With the wastebasket. Because it keeps him quiet, right?
Yes. Oswald is getting a little restless right now. Yeah. Oh, come on, you want to come up and join us? Come on. Come on. There's Oz.
So Stirring the Pot was lessons in chemistry. You can now watch us on YouTube and listen to the podcast everywhere.
Exactly.
Podcasts are streamed. Last week's episode that was posted was Stirring the Pot. That one is about lessons in chemistry by Bonnie Garmus. What do we have?
We have a bonus episode coming out. Surprise, surprise. Won't tell you about it, but.
That one song, Surprise, Surprise.
Surprise, Surprise. Every time someone says surprise, I think of that meme. Surprise, Surprise.
We do have a bonus episode. That one is our kickoff to summer reading. So that's super fun. And then our next book club book is what?
Summer in the City, Alex Astor. Woo!
Yay! Super excited about that one.
Super excited about it too.
And it's such a pretty pink cover. I love colorful colors.
I know, and a fun binding too. Like the
colors.
Yep.
I think we each have a different binding, which is super fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Love
Mine's called the Kindle, but you know, what are you gonna do?
It's a different binding. It's
you're right.
Binding.
Yeah.
Don't forget to follow our social, subscribe to the podcast, and please leave us a review. We want to know what you think.
And let us know if there's a book that you'd like to see us read or cover in the book club. We love a good book club.
So until next time, keep reading.
Keep exploring.
And don't forget to pack some snacks.
Pack some snacks.
Pack some snacks. That's that upstate New York accent.
Yeah. Pack the snacks.